Dear friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As I mentioned, in our psalm for this morning, we hear the psalmist say, "I lift my eyes to the hills, from where will my help come?" This is from Psalm 121, and it's referred to, it's known as a psalm of ascents. That is A-S-C-E-N-T-S, ascents, like going up. And it is a psalm that was originally sung by spiritual travelers who were making their pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And they typically sang this particular psalm as they were entering into the Judean hills. Sometimes these psalms of ascent were sung as they went up the temple steps, but this one in particular was a favorite to be sung as they were entering into that stretch of their journey that took them through the Judean hills. "I lift my eyes to the hills, from where will my help come?" This mountainous region that they were about to enter as they sang this psalm was particularly dangerous. The weather could be unpredictable. There were wild animals to contend with. It was a region known for bandits and robbers. So it was a scary part of the journey. And so they sang this plea, "I lift my eyes to the hills, from where will my help come?" As we make our way through our spiritual pilgrimage through the season of Lent, we find ourselves in a scary time. We're in the midst of a global pandemic, and the epicenter of this pandemic in the United States just happens to be right in our own backyard. We might think that we're on this island here, and we are, but King County is not all that far away. Now, it's important that we keep perspective and not give in to the near hysteria being stoked by the media. It is important that we be practical rather than panicked. But the fear is obviously out there. All kinds of different large public events and gatherings in the Seattle area have been canceled. The University of Washington has canceled all on-campus classes. Everything's being done online for the rest of the spring semester. We see this fear all over the nation. We see it nationally as the stock market has been taking wild 1,000-point swings up and down from day to day. We see this fear nationally as people have been hoarding hand sanitizer and toilet paper. Now, the hand sanitizer I get, I'm not really sure what the deal is with the toilet paper. Somebody is going to have a great master's thesis in social psychology a couple years from now studying this phenomenon. Anyway, we see this fear globally, of course, as airlines are cutting flights because of a sharp decrease in demand. We collectively lift our eyes to the medical community for help. The whole world is lifting its eyes to doctors and medical researchers looking for answers about containment, looking for help in finding ways to treat this virus, looking for potentially vaccines maybe coming down the pike. I'm certainly keeping tabs on the Island County Public Health website to decide our own response should it come to our community. And as we lift our eyes to the medical community, which is indeed a gift of God, God is at work in the science behind all of that medicine. God is at work through those people with their gifts and talents and wisdom. As we lift our eyes to the medical community, though, there's a strange symbol that you may have seen. And I'm going to show you that symbol now. Dave, put it up on the screen, please. There it is. I was on the treadmill at Thrive this past week, and that's when I watched a little bit of the Today Show. I usually have music in my ears, but I'm watching the Today Show with closed captioning. And not that you needed to know that, but anyway, I was watching the Today Show this week at the club, and during their coronavirus coverage, this image flashed on the screen. You'll notice it's a blue star, and in the middle, there's this snake on a pole. You see this symbol a lot of different places. You see it on the back of ambulances. You see it on the shoulders of EMTs. Sometimes people have medical alert bracelets, and that symbol will be on that bracelet. This is a symbol that represents medical emergencies generally, and sometimes just the medical community broadly speaking. And you'll notice that the middle part, especially that snake on a pole, bears a striking resemblance to the graphic on your bulletin this morning. The symbol here, though, in the middle of this blue star, is referred to as the staff of Asclepius. Asclepius is a figure from Greek mythology who is associated with healing and with medicine. But we might wonder, how in the world does a snake on a pole come to be associated with Asclepius and with healing and with medicine? Well, scholars believe that it goes back to the Bible. It goes back to the Old Testament. A lot of scholars believe that the Greeks, in their mythology, culturally appropriated a symbol from the Jewish people, the symbol that arises out of Moses and his time in the wilderness. Okay, we can move past the slide now. Moses led the people on a 40-year-long pilgrimage out of slavery and through the wilderness on their way to the Promised Land. And it was out in the wilderness that the people began to grumble against Moses. They began to grumble against God. They started to doubt God's goodness. Have you just led us out here into the wilderness to die? They failed to trust in God's promises that he would be with them, as he said, that he had a future in store for them. And with this persistent sin came an outbreak even deadlier than coronavirus. God sent poisonous snakes. Many of these poisonous snakes bit the people, and some of them died. God was showing them that sin leads to death. A harsh lesson. But thankfully, this was not the end of the story. God provided a way for the people to be healed. He provided them with a way to be saved from death. God told Moses to make a serpent of bronze and to put that serpent on a pole. And then God said, lift up that serpent in front of the people, and all who look upon this snake on a pole will be healed. They will live. As people lifted their eyes to the symbol of their sin, it became the very means of their salvation. And so the Greeks seem to have appropriated this story into their own mythology. It's fascinating. They've taken this symbol from the story of Moses and used it in their own mythology as a symbol for healing. In our gospel reading for today, we find that Jesus himself has appropriated this story for his own purposes. Jesus uses this symbol and this story to describe to Nicodemus what he had come to do. Jesus uses the story to describe the kind of healing he has come to bring to the whole world. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. They had a nice visit. They probably sat up on some rooftop, which was a common place to relax and have conversations. They probably enjoyed the cool night breeze. It was a common place for rabbis to hang out and talk theology. So Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and we see from his questions that Nicodemus was trying to figure out who exactly Jesus was. He's trying to figure out what Jesus was really up to. Nicodemus and his fellow Pharisees, they knew that Jesus was a teacher. They knew that much. But Jesus wanted Nicodemus to know that he was much, much more than that. Jesus told Nicodemus that he was the Son of Man who had descended from heaven. The Son of Man's this odd phrase, this odd term that comes from the quirky book of Daniel. But it means the Messiah. It means the Savior. He is the Son of Man who has descended from heaven. And then Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who looks at him and believes in him may have eternal life. And so Jesus is much more than a teacher. He's much more than a prophet. Jesus came down from heaven to provide healing, to provide a cure for the global pandemic that is sin. Jesus came to be put on that pole that is the cross, where the symbol of our sin becomes the very means of our salvation. Jesus came to be lifted up on that pole so that we could lift our eyes to him in faith and live. As N.T. Wright so concisely puts it in his great commentary on John, he says, "Humankind has been smitten with a deadly disease. The only cure is to look at the Son of Man dying on a cross and find life through believing in him." We are on our own spiritual pilgrimage through the season of Lent. And as we heard on Ash Wednesday, part of that pilgrimage involves self-examination, looking to ourselves, watching closely for the symptoms of sin in our own lives. We're called to watch closely for the ways that we grumble against God, for the ways that we fail to believe in God's goodness, for the ways that we fail to trust in God's promises, for the ways that we fail to walk in faithful obedience to God's will. And this is scary stuff. That's a scary thing to do. At least if you're doing it right, it's a scary thing to do. It's scary because as we look at ourselves in this way, we see that sin is a disease that we already have. It is not a virus out there that we catch from someone else. It's already inside each and every one of us. But during the season of Lent, we don't just look at ourselves. That would be a dead end. We don't just look at ourselves. Lent is not just about self-examination. Lent is also about lifting our eyes to the cross. It's about lifting our eyes up to Jesus, where we find healing and new life. That's why I like to use the processional cross during the season of Lent. As I told the kids, we're training our eyes as to where to look for help. As we look to the cross, we are confronted by our own sin, to be sure, but we're also looking upon the very means of our salvation. As Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? That question was posed by those spiritual pilgrims as they're entering into the Judean hills, clearly rhetorically. The question is clearly a rhetorical one. We know this because of what follows in the other verses. "My help comes from the Lord above, who created heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. He will never fall asleep. The Lord, the protector of Israel, will neither slumber nor sleep. The Father watches over you, always close at hand. His shadow will cool you beneath the sun and guard you throughout the night. The Lord will keep you from evil, protect you for all your days, your going and your coming, from dawn to dusk, today and forevermore." It is good to be aware of the coronavirus and to take measures to limit its spread. It is good to be aware of the far deadlier disease of sin and to contend against it with all the strength you have. But we don't need to be afraid of any pandemic, whether biological or spiritual, because as we lift our eyes to the hills, we see that God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Thanks be to God. I invite you to stand as you're able as we sing. The words are on the screen for this one.